subject to risk.
At Village Green Apothecary, they've created a unique free program called the Essentials of Healthy Living, or EHL for short. EHL helps you develop a customized plan to take the guesswork out of which supplements you need. Visit their Bethesda location at 5415 West Cedar Lane and check out their easy-to-use EHL display. You can get free information cards about your health needs, from chronic ailments to heart health, allergies, or dietary issues. You'll find EHL information.
Hello, welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, reminding you that the show is streamed through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. We are on the air now every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We try to bring you everything we know about your health, the latest information in diet, nutrition, and healthy lifestyles. Please do visit Village Green, either at the location in Cedar Lane or on the website. They have experts in both places. You can ask questions and get answers. The store and the website are your resource for a wide variety of superior supplements from many manufacturers. Especially take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Now, today on our show, we have a very timely topic and one that is quite interesting. It's Lyme disease. We will be talking about what it is, how you get it, what the symptoms are, the kinds of tests and treatments, and risks for it and prevention. So we're going to try to cover all of it. It's a lot to do. And our guest, who is an expert on Lyme and Lyme treatment, is Norton Fishman, and we are so pleased to have him on the show. He's board certified in internal medicine and also a certified nutrition specialist. And he's the founder and medical director of Optimal Health Physicians right here in Rockville. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dana. What a pleasure, and thank you for having me. And yes, this is going to be a most timely, exciting topic, one that I'm very passionate about because of its importance.
Well, good. Let's get started with an overview. Some of our listeners have heard some information, some haven't, so we'll try to bring everyone up to speed.
Very good.
What, as far as Lyme is concerned, tell us what Lyme is, how people get it, how they know they have it or not.
What I'm going to do, Dana, and this is going to be based on some of my, not of my clinical exposure, is I'm going to give you my take on Lyme disease, which may vary a little bit from the so-called official take, but this is what we're seeing every day. First of all, it's interesting that this disease achieved the name Lyme after Lyme, Connecticut, where it was first described in this country. It has nothing to do with Lymes, and there's only one Lyme, Connecticut. But what it is it's an infectious disease that's transmitted mostly by what we call the deer tick. And this is this tiny little tick that we have in our area here in Maryland, in Virginia, in the Carolinas, all the way up north through all of New England. And it's carried often by the tick, but it first may fester through rodents in the area, the white-footed mouse and other rodents. And especially during this gardening season, and these ticks are tiny. The nymph, which is common during the springtime, literally may be no bigger than a pencil dot. So it's so easily missed. The tick will feed on a person. You know, that's its nature. It's an arthropod in the same family as spiders. But what it does that a spider doesn't do is it doesn't hurt. So you can miss seeing it. It can bite you. It can feed on you. If it gets on your backside, you don't even realize you got it unless a good friend is checking your backside every night. And then it can fall off. And what it does is it has organisms, microbes that live in its gut. This is akin to the mosquito that carries malaria, where the microbe lives in there. And when it feeds on you, unfortunately, it gives you a hypodermic of the microbes. And these microbes then can spread through you and cause this disease we call Lyme disease.
Well, that's an excellent explanation. What kind of Lyme diseases are out there? In other words, how it presents?
Oh, there's actually, we'll talk about the initial presentation, but actually this may be the least common one that presents to the physician. And part of our job at Optimal Health Physicians is to help other physicians learn how to recognize it when it's not obvious, because it's unfortunately too common. So I say that it comes in two versions. There's a politically correct version, and there's a politically incorrect version, and they're both real. What I'll call, and I have tongue-in-cheek in a sense, but the politically correct version is what you'll commonly read about. And this is when you just got bit by the tick. So what you say is, I just got bit, or I just got a rash, and it's starting, and I'm starting to feel sick. And that version is when you just are getting Lyme. And it's real key at that point in time to get it recognized and get it treated. An important thing I want to mention is that often it's said it's hard to catch and easy to treat, and that's exactly the opposite of what we find the truth. It's too easy to catch and often hard to treat. An example of how easy is my wife and I were gardening this weekend in Charlottesville, and she shows me this little critter running up her arm, which was one of the ticks that can cause Lyme. We said, okay, we got it. It hadn't set in. But this morning, interestingly, there's one of the ticks already embedded into her side. So the ticks can come in your clothes, they can wait, and they can get you. Once you know you've been bit, and it's important to know that tick bites don't hurt. They may itch, but if you get a terrible bite that's hurting like crazy, that's not a tick bite. And if it doesn't hurt, it's not a spider bite.
Good. Good differentiation. Now we've got this version. What about the politically incorrect?
Well, the key thing on this version, and then I do want to get to the other because that's what I'm seeing most often in my office, is this is the time to treat it. Because it's sort of like, I'm going to give you an analogy. It was like when we invaded Normandy in World War II. If Rommel could have pushed this off the beach and he came close, we'd all be speaking German today, okay? but we got through. If you can stop the tick at the initial point of invasion, there's probably a 75% chance you may have beat it. And that's getting adequate antibiotic therapy. And the common recommended is doxycycline. We also use minocycline, although other antibiotics can work, using it in good dosing. And often they say, well, just 10 days, 3 weeks. But our experience and the experience of people who are up in New England states are that it probably should be treated for 6 weeks. And there is some controversy, but it's so serious if it escapes that first invasion that it's worth taking the antibiotic for that extra time. So we definitely recommend a prolonged treatment to resolve it. And even then, it can still escape, but you have a very good chance of stopping it. What I'm seeing, what I've called the politically incorrect version, is I'll have people show up in my office, and they say, look, I've been to 5 different doctors. I've been to the endocrinologist, the rheumatologist, the neurologist, finally the psychiatrist, and here's what's going on with me. And what's interesting in our office is that we don't work with insurance companies. Fortunately, for us, perhaps unfortunately for some of the patients, but it allows us to give proper time to diagnose complex cases. And these are people who've been high performers. They are not malingerers. The people I'm seeing are sophisticated Marylanders or Virginians, Washingtonians. Even the teenagers are the people who've been on the debate club, the swim club, and all of a sudden they say, I'm a high performer, and now I can't perform. I'm fatigued. My brain isn't working right, and I'm a very smart person. I'm missing words. I'm missing names. My mood is altered. I'm irritable, grumpy. I may even be getting somewhat depressed because I'm sick. A housewife will tell me, I can't take care of the kids. You know, how can I take care of them when I can't even take care of myself? I feel so fatigued. My sleep is disturbed. I'm having neurologic symptoms. I'm having tingling in my hands. My joints are coming and going with pain. My muscles ache. My muscles twitch. My ears are buzzing. My eyes have floaters. I have TMJ. I get palpitations. I get sweats at night. This is this whole litany of symptoms that we're seeing that we're finding due to persistent Lyme. And this is why I call it politically incorrect, because there's been quite a bit of confusion. Can Lyme disease persist, you know, or is it strictly a 10-day disease? And the answer is it is a persistent disease. We've learned about persistent infections by watching syphilis, by watching tuberculosis, by watching leprosy, leptospirosis. Chronic infections have always been with humans, but they're confusing because we don't get real sick. We don't get high fevers. We don't have to go to bed immediately. Lyme is insidious. It sneaks up on people. It puts them to bed. It can lead long-term to disability. I'm finding college students who are bright all of a sudden can't take their classes because they can't think straight, they can't concentrate. And it's unfortunately way too easy because they'll have tests done, they'll have x-rays done that turn out to be negative. So too often in medicine nowadays, if you have a negative test, you're well. And the person says, fine, but why don't I feel well? Well, that's because you're neurotic or you're depressed. And what we're finding is that, no, these people are sick. They're often called chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. They're sick people. And the important thing is, if they have an infection, it's treatable. Not easily, but it's treatable. But it means that it may, because it's a persistent infection, may take a long time to treat.
That is such a thorough description, and the misery that people go through with Lyme and become so atypical for themselves. They no longer recognize who they were, and some people accept it, and some people charge ahead and are desperate to keep going. So you see a population that is chronic and acute.
That's correct. And interestingly, we'll see more of the chronic than acute because often people go to the emergency room or go to the urgent care or the primary care for treatment. And I have to urge that any rash that shows up after a bite, it does not have to be a bullseye, which is typical, needs to be considered Lyme. It does not, you don't have to wait for it to be typical. You're better off over-treating it to avoid the chronic than missing it and then having a life of misery.
Excellent. I want to remind you, listeners, that we're talking about Lyme disease with Dr. Norton Fishman. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll come back and give you some more interesting information.
You've been listening to the Essentials of Healthy Living show, so isn't it time you visited the store that brought you this great program? At Village Green Apothecary, you can find all the products you need to support your healthy lifestyle. They have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to body care products and books. Best of all, they'll give you the kind of personalized service you just won't get at a chain drugstore. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800. ENC has the saving solutions to meet your needs. To learn about their CD or money market rates, just stop by your local PNC branch. PNC, for the achiever in us all. Bridging the gap between naturaceuticals and pharmaceuticals, that's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulas, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Ask your functional medicine consultant for complete details. For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBulardi from Metagenetics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for a healthy intestinal function. ProBulardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBulardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Hello, welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a wide variety of information about your health. Please tune in next week. Kevin will be discussing with Dr. Weinberg health resources such as chiropractic and progressive rehab. Should be a very good show. And this show is devoted to Lyme disease, and we've been having a fabulous conversation with Dr. Norton Fishman, who is an internal medicine physician and also certified nutrition specialist. He is the founder and medical director of Optimal Health Physicians in Rockville, and I'll give you their office number. It's 301-330-9430. And we talked a lot about Lyme and how people get it. Let's focus some more. We were beginning to talk about the rash and the symptoms that people might have, both in the acute stage, and then we'll go on to the chronic stage again.
Well, that's very appropriate, because with springtime coming on, the ticks are really waking up, although we've had people get a few bites even in December. It may have to do with some of our ecologic changes. This is becoming Lyme season. We've got the small nymphs that are hard to see. And commonly, you'll read about what's called a bullseye rash, which is sort of typical. It can clear in the center and spread out red. And that's pretty typical, almost what we call pathognomonic for Lyme disease. However, in my experience, and this is different than what you read in the book, but I can just tell you what I see in the office over the last 7-8 years, is that that's perhaps represents a small percentage of actual Lyme disease. When it happens, hallelujah, because you know what's going on, and then you should properly take care of it. But any rash can occur as part of Lyme disease. It doesn't have to be a bullseye. It's usually not painful, although it may be itchy. It's reddened, may be slightly raised, feels slightly warm. And this would be the site of where the bite is, but this rash could come on after the tick is already gone. Often associated with it, if this is fairly new infection, might be a mild flu-like feeling. One might feel achy, sore, sort of flu-y, usually not severe. And that would be evidence to then proceed and get treatment, get the antibiotic treatment like we talked about. Too often they say, well, let's get testing to see if the Lyme is there. The problem is, if this is a brand new infection, you've never been infected before, and I do need to remind people that there is no immunity to Lyme. So we've seen people with Lyme get bit and have Lyme number two while they had Lyme number one, and have the disease sort of explode. So if this is your virgin to Lyme, it's brand new, the testing isn't going to show anything in the beginning, because what our tests are, unfortunately, is not demonstrating the organism like we do at a strep throat where we can grow the strep. It's demonstrating your immune response with antibodies to the organism. And that, in the brand new infection, may take time to develop. It could be 10, 14 days. So often the diagnosis and the treatment in the very beginning is clinical. It's the presentation. You're exposed to Lyme. Go ahead and treat it.
I'm glad you're differentiating that. And what you said earlier is that you want to treat it at the first sign, and I'm assuming if in doubt, treat, because that's the most successful time, and rather than just a month, closer to 6 weeks or longer.
Right. And there may be conflict about what we're just saying, but I'm basing it on the experience that we see. You know, antibiotics are not evil. Antibiotics are not bad. Anything, including water, can be abused and misused, okay? So antibiotics have to be used properly, knowingly, in appropriate situations. But it isn't like if I take antibiotics, I'm taking poison. Hopefully you're taking poison to the microbe, not to you. So now the other question is, well, who gives you this bite, and where is this coming from? In our area, we call it a deer tick, and this is going to be opposed to the dog tick, which is a bigger tick. Often your dog will bring it in. It'll often have a white spot on it. And so far, we don't believe it's a carrier of Lyme. But the deer tick is, and it's most common in any of our areas. We've had people in D.C. who never left their apartment, but their neighbor brought the dog in, and the tick showed up. So it's common in this area. Other vectors that are much less common but are possible, I've had patients be bit by a green-headed biting fly, develop the bullseye rash, and develop a positive Lyme test. So apparently it may have been caused by that green-headed fly. I've had patients exposed out on the eastern shore to the sand flies. A group of them hit them, and they got Lyme after that. I had one patient who went to bed in a bed of fleas. She didn't know it at the time, but the bed was infested, and she got Lyme. So there can be other sources. And then one source that we're seeing coming up into our region is called the Lone Star tick. This is a very interesting tick, unfortunately. It moves fast. If you got a tick crawling on your arm and moving at great speed, it's probably a Lone Star. It has a little white dot on it. And it carries, we believe, a spirochete that's a little different than the typical Lyme spirochete. And the problem is that spirochete has been known to cause a disease in Missouri called Master's disease. In Texas, it's called Lone Star disease. That's very much akin to Lyme. And in my viewpoint, the way it behaves clinically, even though it may not test positive on the typical Western blot, I would look at it as Lyme disease. And we're beginning, that Lone Star tick has arrived in our region. How did it get here? Deer don't migrate very far, but birds do. And what we're finding that often the birds carry ticks, so that the ticks that are here on the eastern part of our country are now being carried off into other parts of the country. These are the migrating songbirds who are walking around on the ground and getting ticks. So this disease is evolving. It's expanding. It's not here to create fear. We're here to create awareness. I do believe, and this is my own personal opinion from what I see, that we're in an epidemic. Epidemic in the sense of number of people involved. We've talked to people up in Frederick, and they say, yes, everybody here has Lyme. The dogs have it. The neighbors have it. Even some of the horses have it. I've talked to people in Potomac. Same story. You just go down the block, and this person has it. That person's grandkid had it. So I think we're dealing with a problem that's evolving, becoming more concerning, more serious. Bad enough for the initial bite, but like you said, what about, what can it develop if we missed it? If we didn't see the rash, if we didn't realize we were bit, what happens next?
And that's the presentation of the chronic Lyme, and that's what seems to have a controversy, that it's not being recognized as an active infection.
That's correct. So I like to call it persisting Lyme, there's studies, there's all kinds of anecdotes to say, oh, this can't be. And so what I'm going to present is what I see, what we find when we test, and the final answer for any clinician is, did your patient get better? Because my job as a physician is to relieve suffering. I go back a while. I graduated a long time ago. We didn't have CAT scans when I first started, and so we actually had to sit down and listen to the patient to find out what was wrong with them. We couldn't just send them to X-ray. And what happened, if we listened careful enough, whether the patient knew it or not, is they told us what was wrong with them. And too often now, we don't have time to sit down and hear a complex story about all these different symptoms. But when someone presents with this complex story of crazy, weird symptoms involving so many systems, my first suspicion from what I'm seeing is I first have to be suspicious of Lyme. Often the people who come to me have been through a bunch of other doctors, including Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic, and don't have an answer. If there is a different disease, not all everything is Lyme. If it is a different disease, great. I would hope that the specialist found it, takes care of it. I don't see that patient. They're being taken care of. But we're seeing people suffering, and like you said before, they're having an atypical problem for them. These are with it people who suddenly say, what happened to me? I'm not functioning well. This isn't right, and nobody can give me an answer. And what we're finding, and we can get into how do you diagnose it, is that we're finding that they are infected, and infections require treatment of antibiotics primarily. And what we're also finding is it isn't just the bug that we have to treat, the microbe. We have to treat the person who has the bug. And people are different genetically. They're different nutritionally. They have different ability to detox. Their immune systems are different. We're all mutants. None of us have the exact system exactly. We all have different versions of genes. And some people are very hardy. They can get Lyme and be hardly sick at all. In fact, they just have a few aches. They say, I'm getting old. I say, well, how old are you? They say, I'm 40. I say, in 40 years, I'll call you old. I said, you should feel good. And some people are very fragile. And it isn't their fault. It's how they're made. They're very sensitive. Their systems are fragile. And they get real sick. So we see all this variety.
Well, what we want to do is talk next about the testing. We're going to take a brief break. And for those who just tuned in, you're listening about Lyme disease. And we're talking to Norton Fishman, MD. So we will be back after this break and give you some more interesting info.
Mm-hmm. Ever wish you had a healthy living coach? Well, you do. Village Green Apothecary has 45 trained professionals who are here to help you, including pharmacist, nutritionist, and herbalist and naturopath. They take the time to really know you and give you a customized solution to your healthcare needs. From vitamins and minerals to compounded prescriptions, they have the personalized answers you need to create your healthy lifestyle. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call 301-530-0800.
Did you know the average American consumes 135 pounds of sugar a year? Get the lowdown on sugar and the natural support of GlucoCare from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. GlucoCare has been clinically proven to maintain blood sugar levels within normal range. It also supports normal triglycerides and cholesterol levels and normally functioning cells of the pancreas. Get the lowdown on sugar and reach for all-natural GlucoCare by Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Broccoli, ew. Asparagus, yeah. Blueberries, blech. Brussels sprouts.
No.
If your family is like most, they're not getting enough of these. So you need help to keep them healthy. TwinLab Daily One multivitamins are a higher potency formula, delivering 20 important nutrients, including powerful antioxidants. Protect your family with Daily One multivitamins from TwinLab, the most trusted name in vitamins. TwinLab vitamins are available at all Better Health and Natural Food stores.
Wondering how to turn your bedroom into a hothouse? The answer is hot plants, the natural herbal way to make sex fun, vibrant, and satisfying. Two unique formulas, one for him and one for her, developed by Chris Killam, the medicine hunter. Chris's book, Hot Plants, features these exciting products from enzymatic therapy. Hot Plants from the Science of Enzymatic Therapy, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Isn't it time you visited Village Green Apothecary? They've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years, and they still take the time to really know each of their customers and provide individualized attention and personalized service. With over 10,000 products in stock, they have just what you need for a healthier lifestyle, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products and health-related books. Visit them at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or call 301-530-0800. Village Green...
Hello, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, alternating this show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we both try to bring you a wide variety of information about your health. Please tune in next week for Kevin's show. He's going to be talking about chiropractic and progressive rehab. On this show today, we've been talking about Lyme disease with Norton Fishman, who's an MD, internal medicine, and certified nutrition specialist. He is the medical director and founder of Optimal Health Physicians in Rockville, and I want to give you the number in case you want to contact them, 301-330-9430. Now, we were talking all about Lyme, how to recognize it, signs and symptoms, and how it requires very thorough evaluation. And because Lyme is multisystemic and affects so many systems, it's often missed by physicians who specialize in a given system. So they may not see the whole picture. It's critical when you get evaluated that somebody spend the time to listen to your symptoms. Lyme is not so easy to diagnose. So let's talk about the testing as being part of the diagnosis.
First of all, Dana, thank you. You've put that together very well. I agree with everything you've just said, perhaps the generalist, the primary care physician, the family care physician, the internist who's doing primary care is the one who would look over all the systems and realize, yes, there's neurologic symptoms here, there's psychiatric symptoms here, there's cardiac symptoms, there's GI, there's GU. What could be causing, there's rheumatologic symptoms, what could be causing all this? And the key is gathering all this information and putting it together. And so often the patient says to me, well, what else could it be? Which is a very important question. And I have to answer them back, I don't have a better answer. You know, if somebody, the specialist comes up with a better answer, hallelujah. Because our job isn't, I have to be right. Our job is, how do you get well? Most often what we see is they've been around the block, they don't have an answer, and Lyme is there. So how do we go further? First, as you said, we have the suspicion from this story, from their exposure, and you don't have to be a forest ranger to get Lyme disease. You can be an ordinary citizen who walks in Rock Creek Park or goes down the trail or just happens to live in Frederick or Mount Airy or anywhere in Northern Virginia. It's all around. Once you have the suspicion, then we do what's called serology testing. And there's a lot of confusion here. The CDC, in all their wisdom, has recommended a two-tier testing where they do a screening test first and then don't do a Western blot until then. My clinical experience is that that screening test does not qualify as a screening test. My definition is that a test is screening if it picks up 110% of the cases and then you narrow it down. And we really see, and I think studies have proven, that the standard ELISA screening test is lucky to pick up 50%. I could truly flip a coin and give you the same, give you as good an answer. So we go right to Western blot. And what that means is it's an antibody testing that's specialized to find whether you have antibody reactions to the Borrelia spirochete. We have found that the CDC recommended testing that the standard labs like LabCorp, Quest, and the big hospitals do has, when it gives a positive, great, but I think it misses too many because it's been dumbed down. By that I mean that the, and we can, won't get into all the details, but there's an IgM version for active infection, and they only do 3 bands when there's 14 bands that are possible to test. And in the IgG, which is the could be new or could be long-standing Lyme, they've deleted 2 or 3 of the bands that are really critical. So we end up going to specialty labs. The one I use, and I'm not employed by them, but I use them, is Igenix out in California, Palo Alto, and we've used their Western blot because we found it more useful. What's important, even though I find that to be a very good testing, is it still misses maybe 10-plus percent of the cases. So an important point I need to make right now is that Lyme testing is not as good as pregnancy testing. Pregnancy testing is you is or you ain't. You know, great. You know, next. Lyme testing, a negative test never says you don't have Lyme. That's really critical. Too often people say your test was negative. First of all, it might not even have been a good test. And it's negative, so you can't have Lyme. And the answer is that's not true. A negative test says my test did not confirm you do have Lyme. But I cannot tell you don't have it. I may have to do more. So we find that we'll do the Western blot. And an important point about Lyme is that not only is Lyme multi-systems involved, it turns out, and this is what I'm seeing clinically, Lyme may be multi-organism involved. So I'm mentioning microbes. The spirochete is a special kind of bacteria. It's interestingly related to the syphilis bacteria, although we don't consider Lyme a venereal disease. It's still an infectious disease. But another organism that we find in the ticks that often is part of what we'll call Lyme disease is an organism called Babesia, B-A-B-E-S-I-A. And it's actually a protozoa akin to malaria and often is injected at the same time the spirochete is. A third organism, and there's a family of them, but we put it under the classification of Bartonella, another bacteria. And if you don't test for those organisms, which are sometimes called co-infections, but I'm going to call them co-organisms of a single infection that I'll call Lyme disease, because clinically it's presenting as one infection that may have multiple synergistic microbes, then you're not solving Lyme disease, because too often you can't just treat the spirochete. You may have to definitely treat these co-organisms because they're part of the disease. My analogy is I'm old enough to know World War II. World War II wasn't just Germany. You know, it was like, okay, we got Germany done. World War II wasn't over. There was Japan. So we had to divide our resources. In Lyme, we have to tackle all the organisms to solve the infection. So we have to do special testing for that. The testings are incomplete. They're great when they're positive. They don't always give us the answer. Clinical symptoms are really key.
So this is where a lot of the controversy lies, that if one uses a very dilute test that's insufficient and has a 50% error rate, if we want to call it that, and if one doesn't test for co-infections, the patient's not being well served.
Well, you know, to serve the patient, if they're infected, we need to know the infection they have, which will lead us to the proper treatment. The diagnostic triad that I work with is, as a clinician again, is the first and most important thing is the presentation of their story, their symptoms, to make me suspicious. And it's worthy to check and see if they have anything else. You know, yes, do they have rheumatoid arthritis? Do they have lupus? Do they have zebras? Fine. And if they do, go take care of it. But if we find there is no better answers for giving this, and too often the patient's told, I can't tell you what you have, so, you know, it's time for you to leave. And it's very frustrating to the physician without getting an answer. but it doesn't help the patient. So what we're finding is, first is clinical story. Second is testing. And we find that vitamin D levels, interesting, are often affected in Lyme disease. So we measure that as part of our testing because they're often abnormal in Lyme. And thirdly, if you feel you have enough information from your story and from the testing and you have the patient's consent and the patient is aware of the controversy, so they can choose to go with my choice or they can choose not to, you know, because it's them who are doing it, we can then start on a course of treatment. And the final proof of the pudding in Lyme disease is, does the patient respond to treatment? And if they do, which is the goal, then we've relieved suffering, we've done our job.
Well, that's a good summary. And we want to talk a little bit more about the testing. I just want to emphasize to our listeners that have maybe just tuned in, we're talking about Lyme and we're talking about treating it in the acute phase. And if you don't get it treated, then you face the persistent, or what's sometimes called chronic phase, which is long-term and life-disabling. So if in doubt, treat aggressively with antibiotics. Dr. Fishman mentioned some of the medications. We are going to take another brief break, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about testing and about treatment, the whole span of treatment from antibiotics to alternatives. This is Dana Lake with the Essentials of Healthy Living. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Some things are hard to stomach, and life doesn't stop for occasional immune challenges or intestinal distress. ProBulardi from Metagenetics offers a new targeted probiotic approach for intestinal support. Help maintain control while traveling or as a follow-up to antibiotic therapy to support intestinal flora for a healthy intestinal function. ProBulardi provides ID-certified probiotic strains suggested by research to enhance certain aspects of immune function, in addition to promoting a healthy balance of intestinal microflora. ProBulardi is the go-to probiotic for patients on the go. Get it today. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and much more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber, immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com, available now through your healthcare professional at Village Green Apothecary. All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant that supports heart function, energy production, immune response, and protects against damage from free radicals. Aging reduces our ability to absorb CoQ10 from our diet, and taking a highly absorbable CoQ10 supplement is key to ensuring optimal levels within the body. So don't just settle for any CoQ10 supplement. Ask specifically for Gero Formula's QH Absorb at Village Green Apothecary. Or for more information on QH Absorb, go to Gero.com. That's Jarrow for the best in highly absorbable, bioavailable CoQ10 supplements.
Since 1973, Megafood has been providing supplements which harness the power of phytonutrient-rich whole foods. For optimum nutrition and true vitality, we need foods which have not been damaged by heat. Megafood's state-of-the-art cold fusion process naturally protects the delicate phytonutrients present in whole food. Supplement daily with an easy-to-digest Megafood formula and enjoy the best that food has to offer. For information, call 800-848-2542.
Welcome back, listeners, to the final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, and they're located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda. Please do visit. There are so many experts to help you, a variety of supplements. That is one of the busiest and most interesting shops you'll ever be in. It's a pharmacy that specializes in nutrients as well. Now, tune in next week. We're here every Thursday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., And next week, you'll hear Kevin Pissarro talk about chiropractic and progressive rehab with Dr. Weinberg. And today, we've been talking with Norton Fishman about Lyme disease. And we're going to try to summarize a few points. We just got finished talking about the testing. And I'd like to get started there, and then we're going to talk about the variety of treatments.
Very good. Dana, first let me throw in my disclaimer. So far, I have been talking about subjects when it comes to treating, testing, we're talking about diagnosing, especially when we talk about what I call persistent Lyme. And I've been both politically incorrect. I've been, sort of dealing with a controversy. And the truth is, I'm a pretty quiet guy, and I'm not taking great joy in being, you know, difficult or fighting the systems. But I have been trained to be a clinical doctor who takes care of suffering patients and finding answers. I enjoy puzzles. These patients, I'm a diagnostician, and these patients present their puzzles to us, and it's important to get an answer. So more important than what a book says or what the PhD says is what are we finding, and are we getting the patient better by being scientific? Scientific means I do observations. I see results of what we do, and then and if there's a repeated pattern, I call that clinical science. It doesn't have to be statistics in the New England Journal of Medicine. And so this is why I go about being, in a sense, an iconoclast a little bit, not because this is what I want to do, but that's not my job, is to help the people. So we mentioned that the testing can be wrong, and it can be both false negative, false positive. That's why the clinical story is so important. It is important to reemphasize that a negative test, even if it's one of our better tests that we like to do, never says you don't have Lyme. It doesn't say you do. What it says is we may have to go further. And it's important in the testing, and we do antibody testing for the Babesia organism I mentioned. The Bartonella is even harder to figure out because it's probably not the species of Bartonella that causes cat scratch fever, but we've gone to specialty labs to try to pick that up. And we then have to come to what we call treating this to finally see if we're on target. I want to mention a response to treatment, and I say the response to treatment tells us we're on target. It's called a Janisch-Herxheimer reaction. And Herxheimer and Janisch just before him were Austrian physicians who were dermatologists, and they were treating syphilis of the skin, which was also a spirochete infection, with arsenic because they didn't have antibiotics 100 years ago. And they found that they were getting a die-off of the organism. We sometimes see that nowadays in tuberculosis. They're describing that actually in AIDS, that as you kill the organisms, you get a die-off. There's a disease called, in some forms of tuberculosis, they see this. And this die-off apparently is due to the fact that you actually are killing some of the microbes, but they're releasing proteins, lipoproteins, from their skin, in a sense, their membranes, that instigate a more profound immune response, and the person will actually temporarily feel worse. The good news about that is it says you're on target. In other words, if you're shooting at somebody and he hollers, ouch, you probably hit him. The bad news is that sometimes that reaction can be severe, and what we find in treatment is there's no template. There's certain antibiotics we'll use based on what we see. My approach to treating persistent Lyme, and this is different than some of the other Lyme doctors, is I feel initially I need to start low and go slow. We use regular antibiotics, but we use them in longer term. And the reason we start low and go slow is some of our sensitive people we can overwhelm with our treatment because of this Herxheimer reaction. And the treatment involves going after the spirochete. And one of the problems in testing with this spirochete is that the again, I mentioned we have to measure the antibody response. The sickest people I see will have the least positive testing, and that's very paradoxical. And the reason we believe is that we're not measuring the organism, we're measuring whether their immune system is responding. And one of the reasons I think these people are the sickest is because their immune system is not creating much of a defense. I've had people who had terribly positive tests who actually were doing quite well with Lyme and hardly knew they had it. So, you know, some good people I know are included. So what we need to direct in treatment is going easy to see if the person can handle stronger antibiotics. We need to use special antibiotics for the special co-organisms that are present. We tell people when we're treating persistent Lyme, this treatment could well take a year, and it could take longer. And, of course, the answer is, well, what about my gut? And the answer is correct. We do have to be cautious. We have to have you on probiotics. We have to watch that you can handle this. Can I get allergic to the antibody? Of course. It's not common. It always can happen. It can happen to any drug, whether it be a heart drug or a diabetes drug. You can become allergic to it. We are aware of that. Will it destroy my liver and kidneys? No. We're using old-fashioned antibiotics because they work well and in this condition, and we do constant testing. That's why we're physicians watching you. We're taking care of our treatment. And for someone who's real delicate, we go much easier. So treating the patient can be long-term. And the other half of treatment, and I think this ties into your sponsors and all, and all the different health stores and all, and part of my training in nutrition, is that not only are we out to treat and kill the microbe that's in you, but we have to support you. So it's not only who's the bug, but who's the person who has the bug, because we're all different. Some of us are real hardy, and some of us need to have immune support, need to have nutritional support. We may have detox abilities, because I think you may see this in some of the autistic kids. Unfortunately, they got the genes that didn't work so well. So when they're insulted with an infection, they have a harder time. But they can be supported through nutrition. We address their methylation. Do they have heavy metal toxicity as a complication? Do they have food allergies? We see a lot of gluten sensitivity, you know, in this. Do they have endocrine? We see a lot of autoimmune Hashimoto's in Lyme disease. These are all factors. What about their social life? People who have good support, they have family support, they have economic support, they have understanding, will heal better. People who are able to keep their spirits up will heal better. One of the best ways to damage your immune system is to get depressed, you know, is to have stress, is to have trauma you can't handle. So we have to look at relationships. We have some people whose families I would give hero medals to, because the people are so hurt. And their families take such good care of them. Usually it's spouses that support them in this illness that I think the spouse deserves a medal. And then, of course, we have people who are alone or people who don't have that kind of support or people who are called neurotic, crazy, malingering. And they have a disease, yet they're called bad people. The problem is they're good people with a bad disease.
Actually, identifying with this, Amy Tan has written some wonderful articles. And her story is very classical of many, and of course people were more willing to listen to her, so she's had an effect.
She's going to be in town next week in a band with a bunch of book writers in Rockville. I don't have the exact place, or in D.C., but they're going to be in their band. But you're absolutely right. She's certainly dealt with this disease. And so treatment is, yes, it does include antibiotics. It does include, but it includes supporting the person, using integrative medicine, using nutrition. Some people have terrible lifestyles. You know, we got to get them off the sodas, got to get them off the sugars, got to get them to sleep. You need to have sleep to have an immune system. So it's a very complex, integrated process to try to get people back on track as far as their healing process.
And when you talk about nutritional therapies, I know with the patients I work with, these nutritional therapies are programs that exceed what most people take. And I'm not talking about healthy people who are taking supplements preventively. I am talking about therapeutic supplements to get that immune system to work, because these are parasites. I call it money in the bank. They're pulling money out. They're withdrawing like crazy, and you've got to be putting in more in order to just try to keep your head above water. And injectable nutrients, intravenous nutrients, as you utilize, work well.
Absolutely essential. You know, what we find in one of the characteristics of the fatigue, which is sometimes called chronic fatigue in our Lyme people, is there's no reserves. There's no they have nothing behind them. So once they exert themselves, they're gone for the day. I think it's also true nutritionally that being chronically ill, they've used up their reserves of nutrition. They don't have any backup. So this is no time for just being on the RDA nutritional. They need to be multi-loaded up, because they're burning up their nutrients. They're burning up their chemicals. They are wounded people, and they need support at all levels. We mentioned, you know, family, spiritual. They need nutritional support. They need medicinal support. And they need medical support. These are people who need to be recognized that they are ill. They don't want to be ill. Sometimes they're disabled. I tell them, I don't want you to be disabled the rest of the life. That isn't your life. but you may be disabled for the moment until we can get you better.
And the medical treatment, for example, if somebody has high cholesterol as the result of the inflammation from Lyme, or low thyroid as the result of the Lyme or autoimmunity, these have to be addressed medically while you're also treating medicinally with the antibiotics and nutritionally.
I think that's key. That's what I've learned as a previously primary care internist, is I need to pay attention to all the pieces of it and basically, you know, support people at all their levels. That's correct.
And there are a lot of other treatments. I would like to say that this seems to be true. Antibiotics alone are unlikely to be sufficient and give a long-term best result, and alternatives alone won't do it. But the combination, the judicious combination based on testing and follow-up, should be successful. But describe what success is, what people who have the persistent Lyme can expect.
Now I'll be even more controversial. What I wanted to believe when I started with this is we're going to cure this disease, you're done. That would be nice, and perhaps we do that, but I think what we may do, and we see this in a lot of chronic infections, perhaps even syphilis may be an example of that, is that we control the disease, we contain it, we allow the organisms to become quiescent, to hibernate, to no longer be active, but I'm not sure we totally eliminate all the organisms out of the body. I would love to say we've cured it. Sometimes the best we do is we contain it so the person can return to their normal life. However, they do run the risk sometimes of getting through major stresses of the disease flaring when their immune system crashes. So one of the goodies that disease gives you is it tells you to pay attention to your lifestyle. It tells you to pay attention to your health and to, you know, get serious about taking care of yourself.
And I think your message is also a message of hope, that so many patients accept an inferior lifestyle. We are very adaptable as humans, and I see them adapting down, not working, not being active in life. And they can have Lyme and have their life back.
I think that's absolutely key. That has to be the goal. And sometimes our sickest people, I say, okay, I don't know if we can get you to 100%. Would you buy 85 to 90? They say, I'd buy it in a heartbeat. Because I'll have a life.
You're exactly right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Fishman. We need to do 3 shows on this subject. And if you've just tuned in, we've been talking to Norton Fishman. We've been talking about Lyme. And I do want to give you his telephone number. He is the founder and director of Optimal Health Physicians in Rockville. They're at 301-330-9430, Shady Grove Road. And this is Dana Lake. I thank you for joining in. If you want to learn more about Lyme disease, what would be the good connection?
There's an organization that they can find on the web page called ILADS, ILADS.com, .org, that can give them references, information. The web is full of information. Not all of it is correct, of course, about anything, but some of it is. So I think people can get there, use their discretion, be aware that miracles are wonderful, but they're called miracles because they happen once every 40 million times. So there's a lot of stories, but there is good resources through the Internet, through ILADS.
ILADS.org. That's wonderful. And I wish we had more time. Folks, you've been listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living. I want to remind you that it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. May your days be filled with breathtaking moments.
The station that makes sense. This is 1260.
WWRC, Washington.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenetics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
At Village Green Apothecary, they've created a unique free program called the Essentials of Healthy Living, or EHL for short. EHL helps you develop a customized plan to take the guesswork out of which supplements you need. Visit their Bethesda location at 5415 West Cedar Lane and check out their easy-to-use EHL display. You can get free information cards about your health needs, from chronic ailments to heart health, allergies, or dietary issues. You'll find EHL information.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio, I'm a real boy!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. To learn more, visit mypyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
The station that makes sense. This is 1260.
WWE.